Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bahar. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Bahar. There is a handout sheet for this podcast, so you're invited to download it from lmod.pardes.org and use it to follow along with Rabbi Levenkreuz. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Projects. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. Today I would like to speak to you about Jews and money. And to start off the podcast, I'd like to tell you a metaphor which I learned from one of my students, and that is of the babies coming down the waterfall. Apparently, people who study social work will sometimes study this case, and that is that you're standing by a waterfall and you see a baby suddenly coming down the waterfall. So, of course, you get up, you rush, you get hold of the baby, you put it down, you make sure it's safe, you dress it, and oops, there comes another baby down the waterfall. So you leave the first one, you rush, you get hold of the baby, you save that baby, and lo and behold, the same thing happens over and over and over again. And the question becomes, at what point do you stop saving the babies? At what point do you desist from helping the babies, even though this might lead to some babies drowning, and go up to the top of the waterfall and find out who is this person and what is going on that these babies keep on going down in the waterfall? To what extent do you deal with the symptoms and the results of an issue? And to what extent you try and solve the issue at its core? Some of you may have heard the saying of the famous liberation theologian in South America, Dom Helder Camerau, who said, when I give food to the poor, people call me a saint. When I ask why they do not have any food, they call me a communist. And from saying what this is saying, that people are always, or not all people, but most people will be very much in favor of saving the babies. But well, the moment you start trying to solve the issue of why the babies are going down the waterfall, it becomes more controversial and much more complicated. I have heard this dichotomy expressed also as the difference between charity and staka. Charity, which comes from the Latin caritas, which means to show compassion, is seen as the bottom of the waterfall and the person who solves the baby. Whereas staka, the Hebrew word, means is from tzedek, its root is tzedek, which means righteousness. And staka is solving the root of the problem. I've heard it said that way. I've even heard a certain dichotomy made that Christianity is the bottom, which encourages people in a very Kantian way to act out of compassion, and what's important is how you feel. And people who say this will say Judaism is the top, tzedakah, trying to create a perfect society. I've heard this as a debate between those who are more socialist oriented and those who are more capitalist oriented within Judaism. Those who are more capitalist oriented say that the Judaism has got no opposition to capitalism. It recognizes, however, that certain people will not be able to succeed in the system, and therefore we have charity, the bottom of the waterfall, to try and help those people. And certainly we should help people who are hurt by the system. Some people who want to try and claim that Judaism is a socialist system speak about the top of the waterfall and say, no, all the laws that we have, like in this week's Parsha Bahar, which speak about creating a society, are not just about helping people in need, but about creating a society that is very different from the one that we have now, and they will claim that this is what socialism is about. What I want to do together is a look at the opening of our parsha and the list of mitzvot that we have over here, and I'm going to try and understand why they are put in the order that they're put to try and see if we can solve the issue of caritas versus staka, socialism versus capitalism, Judaism versus Christianity. Not particularly difficult issues to deal with in a short podcast. So it's very, very interesting. Vayikra 25 opens speaking about the sabbatical year. Ki tavo el aretz asher anochi noten lachem. God says, when you come to the land that I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath of the Lord. V'shabata ha'aretz shabbat l'Hashem. It speaks about the sabbatical year, the land resting every 7 years, and just as human beings have a Shabbaton, so every 7 years, so the land has to have a sabbatical too. He then goes on to talk about the Jubilee year, 7 sabbatical years, 7 times 7, after 49 years, there is a 50th year where property goes back to its original owners. It then goes on to speak about what happens if somebody becomes poor and sells some of his land, that a close relative can come and redeem what his kinsman has sold. It speaks about houses in a walled city. It speaking about how helping others. What it then goes on to speak about what happens if your brother loses his money and can't support himself, and you take him as a slave, which was what happened in biblical times. If I couldn't owe the money, if I couldn't pay the money that I owed somebody, I could become their slave and work off my debt, an indentured servant, so to speak. It says, "Al tikach mimeno neshach v'tarbit." Don't take from him interest. If you have a slave, don't take interest from him. It also says, if your brother becomes impoverished and insulted to you, lo tavod bo avodat eved, you should not work him like a slave. All he is an indentured worker, not some person who can do whatever you want to. Finally, it speaks about the possibility that you could become a slave of a non-Jew. And it says, even if you become a slave of a non-Jew, if it's a non-Jew in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it says, Acharei nimkar geula tiyeh lo, even after he's sold, he has the right of redemption. And finally, it speaks about idolatry. And there's a lot of question almost immediately asks itself, is what is the logic of the order? Sabbatical year, Jubilee, redemption of land, houses in walled cities, helping others, slaves of Gentiles, and idolatry. What is going on over here? And Rashi sees it as being one thing leads to another. It's not quite avera goreret. Yes, it is. It actually is quite avera goreret avera, that one bad turn leads to another. He says, Rashi, and I'm reading the Rashi for those of you looking at the source sheet at the bottom of the page. The passages in this whole section are written in a meaningful order. At first, he says, Scripture admonishes us to observe the laws of Shemitah and Jubilee. Then, if one covets money and becomes suspect of unlawfully doing business with the produce of Shemitah, something that did happen, people got nervous, they felt that they did not have enough faith in God with the seventh year, and they started selling food that had grown in the seventh year, he will eventually become destitute and have to sell his personal belongings. If he still does not repent, he will eventually have to sell his inheritance. If he even then does not repent, he will have to sell his home. Now he's looking for another home. And if he does not repent, he will have to borrow money with interest, which of course is another issur. It's getting worse and worse. He says, now the later the scenario in this passage, the more severe it is. It goes from bad to worse to terrible. If he still does not repent, he will eventually have to sell himself to his fellow Jew as a servant. And finally, if he is still not repented, then he has to be sold to even to a non-Jew. So for Rashi, it is a process that happens where one thing leads to another. I'd like to suggest a different explanation. And the explanation is more or less based upon the Rambam's 8 levels of tzedakah. The Rambam, we know, believed that there were 8 levels of tzedakah. Some of us might know the highest is to give somebody a job or set them up in a business. The lowest is to give begrudgingly and not to give enough. And the ideal, of course, is to give something that is higher on the category, but higher on the list. But of course, the items that are lower on the list exist too. I would like to claim that something similar is going over here. That the way it's organized is not what Rashi says, where it's one thing leading to another, but it's from the most ideal to the less ideal. The best thing in the world is to live in a world in which there's a sabbatical year and a jubilee year, where there is a society that is run on principles, where there is an economic system that is worked on in systems of justice. But we know that also doesn't happen. And if that should happen, we should be able to redeem land. There are laws about houses in walled cities. If we don't live in that ideal world yet, we might have to just put our hands into our pockets and help others. Even if things are even less ideal than that, we might have to have people sold into slavery to other Jews or to Gentiles. And even so, in each step of the way, there are certain rules that we need to abide by. And I think that what the Torah is doing over here is recognizing that in many, many situations, we're not yet in the ideal. The same way as Rambam's eight levels, you would think he would only have the first level, or maybe even only the first few levels. But at the bottom, he has a very low level of tzedakah, but that's still tzedakah, because sometimes that's what's needed. Somebody gives not enough and gives begrudgingly, but that's better than anything else. If you look at the Rambam, when he talks about the eight levels, they speak about the attitude and they speak about the bureaucracy. Ideally, the attitude should be a good one, but if not, better than nothing. It speaks about the bureaucracy. Does the donor know? Does the receiver know? All different things like that. Ideally, neither the donor nor the receiver know. But sometimes it happens, if you're at the bottom of the level, that the donor and the receiver both know. Because the Rambam recognizes that we do not live in a perfect world yet. And I would like to claim the same thing is happening in Parashat Vayikra. The ideal is to live in a society that has its checks and balances, but sometimes we don't, and we might even have to deal with a situation where a Jew is sold into slavery to a non-Jew, which for the Bible at any rate was perhaps the worst thing that you possibly could have. And I think this answers many, many of the questions. I think it is foolish to say that this neat dichotomy between Christianity and Judaism in terms of caritas and tzedakah. There are times within Judaism that we give out of compassion on a case-by-case basis because we know that the world doesn't exist perfectly. There are other times that we really, really try to create structures, whether it be charitable organizations or organizing the economy in a certain way in which we're going to tzedakah. So too, the debate between the socialists and the capitalists. I think a lot of it depends on the society one is in, what is being set up. I'd be very hesitant to say that Judaism is socialist or capitalist. And many people have written about this. I'd be very, very hesitant to say that there really is an economic system. But I think that what we do have in this chapter is certain ideals that could be included in the way we run our society. And we each have to choose what is the way that we want to achieve these ideals. So I think what we have over here is we see that the Torah, in its flexibility that is so well known for, that it really has an option for both tzedakah and for caritas, and it has a place both for giving food to the poor as well as asking why they do not have food. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.